never filtered, always fun.
Can you fake laryngitis? I'm not suggesting he is.
No, I wouldn't be shocked if he. I would if I could. Like, I've lost my voice temporarily a couple times, and I just pray it's laryngitis.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Ray's coming up here in a moment. Leafs coming off a 2-1 shootout loss in Florida, back in action tomorrow night in Carolina. Raptors coming off a loss at the Garden last night. Outscored 41-10 in the third quarter. Like, That is a landslide.
That's a drubbing.
That's an expansion team. Like, that is something. Dwayne Casey was ready to strangle someone at the end of the third quarter. 41-10. And the Knicks have been better
funny,
this year.
It's funny. Talked to Casey's after the interview after the game. He was like, our starters, man, they got to be better than that. And Lowry was like, got to give them a ton of credit, man. They deserve to win. I was like, so typical player coach.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Kyle's locked in. He's making his money. He's got his security.
He's like, I give them a ton of credit. They played a hell of a third quarter, and they deserved to win. They deserved it. Yeah. And the coach is like, our starters, man. Come on.
That's hilarious.
Well, that is sports in a nutshell, right? Like, it.
Well, for sure.
Who do you give credit to? Who do you blame? When do you just give it up for the opposition? When do you take it on the chin? When do you go postal and snap? There's only so many cards you can play.
You can only gamut a few times.
But to your point, Kyle could probably be like, yeah, we stunk in that quarter.
And he was
and
playing.
I need to be a lot better.
Yeah, he was on the court to start the third. They're coming out of the half.
Yeah, you got to give it to them. They're great.
Hey,
you know?
Man. 41-10. Wow, what an impressive night for the Knicks.
Would have been like a great game. Like, he was watching it on TV.
Like, it was Spike Lee. He was sitting there courtside. It's like, it was really fun to watch them perform. Thanks, Kyle. I don't know. Man, the Raps have been playing well, and that's a one-off.
Yeah, you can give them a one-off.
I've said this before. I mean, the Knicks and the Maple Leafs had so many similarities for so many years, and the league is in a better place if the Knicks are competitive.
Yeah.
And this division is a lot better than it has been for years. The Raptors have treated the Atlantic like it's their playground for a number of years, and Boston finally lost last night, but Boston... They're legit. They're a good team. The Knicks have been much better this year. Raptors, clearly. Philly's on the rise. So the division's playing better than it has in years past. So Raptors are going to be in for a tough grind. But I still think when all is said and done, they'll finish top three or four in the East. Now look at Cleveland, though. They're on fire, and they're starting to move up. And all of a sudden, no one's panicking about the Cavaliers, and LeBron is playing well. And like J.R. Smith had a great quote the other day. He was asked about... I think it was Boston. And he said, dude, we don't even pay attention until, like, the All-Star break. Which, if you're, like, a season ticket holder and you're going to all these games and you're, like, on the edge of your seat as a fan.
And this guy doesn't even know who they're playing.
Hey, don't start, Brian. You like athletes to tell honesty and have a quote, have something to say. Well, there you go. He just said it.
I'm allowed, though, to respond to the honesty. Just because he's being honest.
Oh, you want honesty. You want somebody to say something, and then when they say it, you're going to go nuts?
I'm not grilling him for it. I think that's the truth. I absolutely appreciate
the truth. You're actually applauding him for telling it like it is.
Like I fully knew it was. But my point is that says something about the NBA and the disparity between the top four or five teams who don't have to care.
Right.
You don't have to care in October or November. J.R. Smith doesn't care. He's been to three straight NBA finals. I think they feel pretty good about Cleveland getting back there. They don't care that Boston won 16 in a row.
He's bang on. It's just those are things you want to hear them say, admit it, because you're all thinking it.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
We don't think about it.
We don't even know what we're doing tomorrow, let alone today. Doesn't make a difference. We'll see in the playoffs and see if he can beat us. And that's the truth about the NBA.
But I will go out a step further. Once we bring in Ray, I want to ask him this too. And, you can speak to it. There are guys that I played with, I know for a fact, that would have no idea what our week looked like. as far as scheduling and like for me, I was pretty organized. Like, okay, we got a game Tuesday here, Thursday.
Looking I played at, with one. He didn't know any other guys in the other team. Never
looking
watched
at
a
the
game.
Opponents,
didn't have
like,
a clue who anybody was.
Like, but the
it's
guy
crazy.
Was. But I can guarantee you, you went around the dress room and say, and I don't even know. It would be a fun experiment. Say to a young kid in the dress room now.
Like, what's the next 2 weeks look like?
Who do you play next Saturday? I don't know. No idea. Like that to them, that's five games away. They have no idea. But you at least should know that week. You should know your opponent. You should know who's playing well. Like all of that type of stuff should factor into your preparation. A lot of the players, and credit to them, I think they're more relaxed, and it's just like, hey, let's worry about my
it's
game.
Probably a good thing.
But I guarantee you, Ray will say he knows of several guys that had no idea what the schedule was like.
All right, let's bring in Ray Ferraro here on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. How much truth is in that statement, Ray? Guys that you played with that had no idea who you were playing next, let alone two, three, four games down the road.
I think I just entered a bad cell phone area.
Oh, this is great. Where are you?
I'm in Raleigh, just going from the airport to the hotel. And it actually sounds all right right now, but I think we're about due for a drop-off here. We haven't had one in a while.
Yeah, I think we're long overdue. I'll handle it very professionally. Don't you worry.
Your patience and acceptance really is quite something. I would say four to five guys a team have no idea what's going on.
Yep.
They just show up and they know where the next game is because it's on the board in the dressing room. It says, you know, flight for wherever is leaving. And other than that, they know they play Tuesday. They know they play Thursday. They know they play Saturday. And they generally don't, in a lot of cases, really know much detail about it. I think they just look at, you know, 2 feet in front of them most of the time. And I heard Noodle say it's probably not a bad thing, but for me, I like to know where we were going to be most of the time. That's just the way I am.
Yeah, I wonder if you asked a coach what he would prefer. A player who's hypersensitive to all of the details and on top of everything and knows right. where you're going 3 weeks down the road, or a guy who just doesn't pay attention to
oblivious.
Anything. Like, what do you think a coach would prefer?
I think they like the guy that plays best.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
if... And the reason I say that is some guys, like my personality is I have to know or I feel unsettled. Some guys, if they know too much, it bugs them. So whatever you need to do, just come to the rink and be ready to go, whether it's a practice day. I would say most guys know the amount of games in a time frame. So, okay, we got seven games in the next 11 days. So they would know that any off day is, man, that's rest and recovery day. They, you know, like the guys would know their schedule like that. But heck, most of the guys, you get an itinerary and the guys are asking after practice, hey, what time's the flight? Like we're on our way to the airport and they're not even really sure what time the plane leaves.
My buddy, one of my best friends, coached a major junior team and he had an 18-year-old. He said he was sitting at his desk at 2:00 in the afternoon. And an 18-year-old walks through the door and says, where's the rest of the team? Like, am I on time for practice? And he goes, hey, idiot, we have a game tonight. Like, the guy thought he was showing up for practice, and they were playing that night.
Well, let's not call them idiots. There is rumblings out of Edmonton. Our dear friend Pat Quinn walked in his suit and said, guys, the team we're playing tonight's really going to forecheck hard. And one of the Oilers put up their hand and said, Pat, we don't play today. We don't play today.
It's not good.
See, that's a step ahead of the game right there.
Yeah, Pat's overprepared. Yeah, I'll take that every day of the week. As opposed to underprepared.
And isn't there an anniversary? Didn't he pass away 3 years ago today?
3 years ago today, the great Pat Quinn.
We should have a few Pat Quinn stories throughout the afternoon.
I would say, when he was coaching the Leafs, like when he would stand behind the bench, he was one of the maybe three or four guys that made me unsettled because he was so big and he was always kind of like looked like he was going to chew somebody's head off. Keenan bothered me. He made me a little uneasy. Pat really did. Pat Burns did. But like when they were there, I just kind of found things a little uncertain.
Yeah, Pat Quinn had a presence to him that was, he was a grizzly bear behind the bench. Yeah. I mean, the guy is he was a monster.
With a short fuse, too. Like, yeah. Especially on the refs. I want to say I remember him booing the ref one time. Like, you're brutal. Boo!
Dan O'Halloran, you're a coward. Always have been. He would always follow
That's
up.
That's my with. Best.
Always have been.
Always have been. Yeah, he was a beauty.
If you've never seen the video of him almost decapitating Bobby Orr in the Boston Garden way back when Orr was a youngster, oh my gosh, you got to watch it. You can't believe the run he takes at him. And it turned into, like, it looked like World War III was going to break out.
Oh, yeah, it was a full riot.
He hit him at the blue line, but I think he came from the red line. No. And it was a savage hit.
Oh, no helmets. No one had a helmet on. Like that's the thing about Pat Quinn. He's, you know, Mike Keenan. I've never seen game tape of Mike Keenan. Pat Burns didn't play. Quinn, you're like, that guy played and killed people. Like when he played, like he killed people. So you hear stories. Like I used to hear stories about him growing up in Hamilton. And like, it's like gangs of New York, gangs of Hamilton, led by Pat Quinn. Like just hysterical. I still wouldn't mess with that guy.
No.
He was the best.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of runs, you know, we haven't really brought up the Nazem Kadri stuff from last night, and there's been a couple of examples of his short fuse being on display last Saturday against Montreal and last night as well.
First off, last night, do you know why he didn't get the call against Ekblad? Do you know why he didn't get the call in
Reputation.
The corner?
Well, the refs
goes down all the time.
The refs can't stand.
You think if that happened to Austin Matthews, Ekblad cross-checked Austin Matthews off that, he's going to the box?
Because I thought it was a penalty. It was
Absolutely.
A penalty on Nazem. It was a penalty
but
on him.
But when you
him,
go down
sure.
that much, you're putting doubt. The referees have doubt in their mind, and then sure enough, they're looking for the retaliatory thing. And the thing in the penalty box.
The worst part.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Ray.
The worst thing. Oh, sorry. The worst thing about that is, you know, it's not like the officials don't talk or don't see. So he's lying on the ice for 10 seconds. And then he stays in the play. Like they're well aware of what's going on. They're like, nope, no chance. Next time, no chance. And so he would be. I see a little of myself in that. That there's a reason the officials don't give you the breaks. And he draws a pile of penalties too. It's not like he doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
Doesn't get any. I used to bitch and complain all the time, and so after a while, you know, they'd go like, "Oh, shut it, zip it," and you know, they do the same thing when he's lying down when he gets cross-checked. You're right; that's a penalty on most other guys, but they look at it and they're like, "Oh, just go pick up your stick and let's continue the play."
Well, and I thought the cross-check he handed out was pretty weak.
Yeah,
really.
It wasn't nothing. It wasn't a killer cross check.
No.
You give him a good push, and then the biggest hit was the guy in the penalty box with
Dale Talon lookalike that took the butt end right.
That
in
guy
his
got
nose.
A butt in the yeah. But I'll give him credit. He went right after Kadri.
He did not back down. That was pretty interesting. I've had those guys who are generally pretty good guys say to me as I've been screaming and yelling and slamming the door, "Are you finished? Would you like?" There's nothing worse than, you know, you're 23 years old and a 60-year-old guy says, "You want a drink of water now?" You just feel like a donkey.
Well,
yeah, that guy, he treated Kadri like it was like preschool, like it was like a daycare.
He was talking. I'm glad he did that in the sense that he didn't show up with a neck brace and something today and all of a sudden was like, "I'm suing." Or, you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Because who knows in the landscape of today, this guy drops and realizes this guy makes $5 million a year.
Oh, yeah. Salino
you never know
and
when
Barnes.
Something stupid can happen. Like the other day, Brendan Gallagher smashed a stick across the post. and there was somebody skating right behind the net, the blade of the stick could easily, like,
yeah.
Jamie witnessed the worst one of all. Al MacInnis slashed his stick on top of the boards after a goal against.
Yeah.
And Darren Turcotte's glove was off and his hand was hanging on the bench.
That was a foot away from me.
Yeah. And he broke his hand. Al MacInnis was sick to his stomach.
Al saw that hit Turcotte's hand. He jumped over the boards, ran down the aisleway, and threw up because he was so sick that he had hurt a teammate out of frustration. And it was a frustration play. It was an accident. He didn't mean to do it.
But like you said, though, like Turcotte's not going to sue MacInnis.
No.
That, like, that cat last night, yeah. Like Foligno and Barnes are flying down to Miami, and
this guy's got a neck brace on.
The first guy ever to break his neck from a butt end of the face. It's, you know.
Hey, do you guys remember when the guy tumbled into the penalty box in Philly when Domi was in there?
Yep. That was one of the greatest things. And I'm still mad that Kevin Collins jumped in there because I think that guy would still be laying there if Domi was able to continue to punch away at him.
Yeah, that might not have turned out so well. That was pretty amazing stuff. The fact that he didn't was astounding.
No fan in history has taken a bigger beating than in Buffalo, the guy that jumped into the bench, and Rob Ray planted like 25 bombs on
easily.
His head.
That was in Quebec.
Oh, it was in Quebec. Okay.
I'm going to watch that on YouTube again. That is a beating like you've never seen. Like,
Rob Ray is pummeling him.
Pummeling. And it was almost like the teammates were holding him in place. And he was just going to town.
Yeah.
There was nothing that guy could do. But why was he on the ice anyway?
He's an idiot. Exactly. Don't jump on the ice. If you take a beating, it's your own fault. But, you know, as for Kadri and his reactions, and I like a player on the edge. I like a guy who responds and gets pissed off. I don't want to necessarily see that scaled back, but I would like to see it be selective from time to time. And, right, you and I, we were going back and forth last night. That's a situation, considering when it is in the game, he skated right by the Leafs bench. I think Babcock's got to yell on him, get off the ice. You can't trust him in that situation.
Right.
I would.
He's gone so hot by that time.
He's crazy. Like, Babcock should have got him off the ice.
Yeah.
You know?
That's not the first time, and it won't be the last time for him. But the funny part is, like, as soon as he gets sour, that's when he plays best.
Right.
Like, when he gets on the edges of the game and, you know, he's a knight, he doesn't really have his legs, that's when he's more involved, that's when he's the best.
And that's why you can't
take the penalties he took.
Yeah, you got to be careful with scaling it back because of that. You know, when he's involved and engaged.
You need him to play that edgy game, for sure. Because when he's not edgy and playing a safe game, he's not as effective. It's just, the hardest part is if you play in that gray area, and we all know, like, he's a gray area player, but it bites you sometimes. And the problem now is the reputation's there, so he's actually going to have to take a little bit more of a beating to get certain refs to give him that call, quite honestly. And Tyson Nash is a good friend of ours. Nasher said the more experienced he got in the league, he felt he had to take more punches to the face and more abuse because the refs knew his act. And I see Nazem kind of in that. Now, Nazem's a better player and all of that, but he needs to play edgy. But when he gets involved in that stuff, he is going to take a beating to get a call instead of before maybe he wouldn't have had to.
Well,
The story becomes about what happened in the penalty box, but really the time of the penalty and the type of penalty is really what's in the bigger picture is the most important stuff. And that's, I'm sure they have a talk with them today, or you don't even have to have a big talk, but you gotta tell them. Can't do that.
Yeah.
What do you make of this Matthews Marner connection? I mean, earlier in the week, obviously Babcock, He turned on it quickly after the game in Montreal. He was almost insulted by anyone insinuating they'd stick together. And now all of a sudden, they're starting games together. They're playing the whole game together. He doesn't know what he's going to do tomorrow night. But do you expect them to stick together, and would you have them play together?
I do think they're going to stick together. It does feel kind of odd, like, you know, like Matthews and Nylander have broke up. Like, they were a couple for a year, and now they've broken up, and you know, there's a new winger here, and so Nylander's getting bounced all over the lineup. At some point, you've got to find the best point for all of the players. And really, I think that's what Babcock talks about. And, you know, we're media, we're all kind of focused on one or two things, and he's trying to focus on the entire team and whatever gives them the best chance that night. I mean, it looks like Martin's out of the lineup. Well, Carolina doesn't have anybody for Martin to really be in the lineup for. So you take him out and you put another guy that can skate or another guy of that style of play against Carolina. So I don't know if it'll be a long-term thing. I mean, how would you know? It seems like he's going more with his, like, more of a gut feel this year as opposed to just rolling out the same nine guys in the order that he did last year. That doesn't seem like it's going to be the way.
Quickly, right? We know that I'm just waiting for the phone to drop. I've been anxious for 15 minutes.
I'm at the hotel now.
Okay, you're good.
At the hotel. I had to step out of the cab because the guy just gave me the old, hey, my machine doesn't work, and I don't have any cash. I'm like, so I go, what do you want me to do about it? And he says, well, the credit card doesn't work. I go, and I have no cash, right? I had the phone on mute while you were rambling away there, Hayes, and I was trying, every time he said that the machine didn't work, I say, I got no cash. Like, what do you want me to do? Can't pull it out of my ear. We've got a dilemma.
Yeah, that's like an Abbott and Costello bit. Who's going to win in the end?
Yeah, well, if the machine doesn't work,
I'm going to win.
You're going to win because you've got no cash.
Like, what am I going to do? So I guess I could go to the ATM and spend $4 to pay the guy. And so really that comes, you know, which I probably will do because otherwise you're just being a jackass. But it's not really my problem. That's what I got to say about the whole deal here. Because I think they scam us, Noodles.
Yeah.
Noodles, what do you think? The early morning cab ride and they go, oh, no change. Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Okay. Well, then, you know, I
bad break.
I try to be polite as possible in early morning, but when the machine doesn't work, they should let you know the minute you get in the cab and say, hey, this is a cash fare because my machine's not working. Not, hey, I want to pocket the cash once we're at the airport. You know, all of a sudden the machine's not working. I see when you pull out your money clip, you've got cash there. I'll just take the cash. And I'll say, no, I'm saving that for breakfast. You can take the credit card. And,
but that cost him something, man. I just went through that whole routine for a month.
It's unfortunate, but that's where the customer is always right. If you want to pay with a credit card,
you're paying with a credit card.
You're paying with a credit card. Like, and you don't, I always try and tip generously because I believe that, you know, people work hard for their money. But if I feel like there's a scam or this guy's looking to pocket something, I dial down my tip. Usually a 20%.
I'm with you, Noodles. He could have told me at the airport. And then I would have known when I got here, and I would have had to, or not gotten the car and gotten the next one.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you still don't have any cash. Not like I'm making it up. Ask Gord. Next time you talk to Gord or CC, ask him if I ever have cash. The answer is never.
I know. I've heard that rumor before.
Yes, I bet you have.
Your reputation precedes you. We're well aware.
Yeah.
Ottawa losing again last night. Matt Duchene. This guy is going Joe Namath here. He is struggling.
Cold as ice
right now. No points, like minus six or minus eight.
And it's not like you're saying he's all around the net or...
Well, he had 20 shots on goal, was it, right?
Who cares?
Well, I mean, 20 shots on goal in four games, that's pretty good, is it not? Like, if I said Austin Matthews had 20 shots on goal in four games, he'd probably have seven goals.
Last night.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, you got to look at the 20, right?
Yeah,
you
got to
look at the 20 shots. Are they a couple of muffins from the blue line? Or are they
a couple
real
years
chances?
Ago, Kadri had a zillion shots on net, too, but they were flick shots from the blue line.
It is true.
Here's the one thing that concerns me, two things that concern me about Duchene, and I think I said it when the trade was made, but concerned me then, concerns me now. I don't know what position he is because he's been, it seems like, over the last couple of years, most productive on the wing. That's not what they acquired him to be. And secondly, he finished the year, I know under tough circumstances, but he finished last year with 3 goals in 41 games. He didn't get a sniff at the World Championship. And so I would be concerned about that. They gave up a lot for him. And, they come back from Europe. They haven't done a thing since they've gotten back. and I'm not real sure where the connection is for him. Is it Bobby Ryan who doesn't have a point? Is it going to have to be? Does it change when Zach Smith comes back? But the Senators are stuck because they need production. If they don't get production from him, they're beyond screwed. I mean, they just don't have enough. And how could you? I mean, you traded Turris. This is your number one center. I'm not even sure he's a center or a comfortable center. Maybe he is, but the results haven't been so good.
No, that's an understatement. All right, buddy, enjoy it down there in Carolina, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
And if you call in 10 minutes, I'll still be sorting out this cab. So.
You sound like you're actually not as flustered as I expect you to be in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, this has a potential to go. This could be a Kadri penalty box situation here.
Watch yourself. There's always cameras.
And this guy will definitely come up with a neck brace.
Oh, yeah.
You bet he will. We'll get her sorted out. We'll talk to you tomorrow, boys.
All right, buddy. There's Ray Ferraro on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. For fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer, visit valiantfinancial.ca. Sounds like something weird is going on in this football game, Cowboys-Chargers. Just from Twitter alone, like the Chargers, I don't think they've got a field goal kicker. I'm going to try to get an update on this. I guess he's hurt. Yeah, the field goal kicker's hurt.
Don't they have a backup?
I'm reading on Twitter, it says the Chargers' backup kicker can't even hit the practice net. I guess he buried one to the right of it, and it went flying down the sideline.
There's video of it. I've seen it 15 times. It's hysterical. The guy is 2 feet from the net, and he pushes it wide right.
That doesn't instill confidence.
No. So they might be just going for it on fourth down. Like, this game, it's 0-0. Just an awful game. And the one tonight, like, how can you not flex that game if you're NBC? Washington, New York. You knew week 3 or 4 the Giants were done. Like, 10 weeks ago, they should have been.
What do you want them to do? Change the schedule?
Yes. Flex it. Yes. You're out. We're putting a different game in.
You can't do that, dude.
Why not?
Although I understand what you're saying, it's such a bad matchup, but you can't change it.
Why not?
Would you like to see a schedule change according to how teams are playing
at
that time?
Yes, absolutely.
Like a moving target schedule.
All right, we'll come back and get into this
a little bit
deeper. All right, moving targets.
Yeah.
Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. So we're tracking this story in Dallas because our understanding was Nick Novak, their field goal kicker, the kicker for the Chargers, he's got a back injury, but he just kicked a field goal from like the 22-yard line. So the Chargers are up 3-0, but
maybe the coach saw the backup practicing and said, Nicky, we need you, brother.
We need you. If it's under 30 yards or under 25 yards, you have to go out there. Kick it with your wrong foot, but you gotta give us something here. And there's never any sympathy for a kicker.
No.
Never any sympathy. You know these big linemen who are playing with like herniated discs and like torn labrums, and they're looking at this guy like, are you for real? You can't kick a ball because you have a boo-boo on your back?
Wow.
Get your life together.
Figure it out.
But it doesn't sound like we're missing much. 3-0. There's like a minute left in the first half.
It's pretty ugly.
Just a barn burner down in Dallas. And this could be it for Jerry Jones. Because I guess the report came out a couple of days ago. He's not going to sue the NFL. Cooler heads have prevailed for Jerry or Gary Jones. But if they lose again, that'll put them at 5-6. Effectively, they're out. They're out. So
Elliott should have taken the suspension early on.
Who knows? It's just
one of those seasons, I guess, where it's not going well.
I don't think it matters, even if he was playing. They're missing their superstar left tackle, the captain of their defense. They've just had bad injuries, and it's not their year. Philly's too good in that
Romo
division.
Would Romo have helped them?
No.
No?
Romo's done. I mean, he's calling this game, though. He'd be down there in Dallas with Jim Nance.
He's good.
We were talking about the night game tonight. which is Washington against the Giants, and neither team is going to be a playoff team. The Giants are one of the worst teams in the NFL. It's a real bummer because that's the one game for us, from a selfish standpoint, we can go home and actually watch.
I wonder what kind of ratings they would get. Like, are people, even if they're Giants or Redskins fans, they're going to watch, but everybody else will probably be like, all right, let's go outside and play games or something.
Yeah. If you've been eating and drinking all day, I'm going to sleep at 8:30.
Yeah.
I'm not watching that garbage. It's going to be a brutal game.
Watching that nonsense.
It's tough.
I think, listen, I understand it's easier said than done than to flex it, but NBC pays so much money, and towards the end of the year, they have that ability. I don't know which week they're allowed to start doing it, but the final few weeks of the year, they have the ability to flex the schedule. So
Saturday night games and stuff?
The Sunday night game, anyway. Where, let's say they have a game that has been scheduled all year, and it's like Niners-Browns, not that it ever would be, but using that as an example. And they're like, no, guy, that's not going to work on primetime week 15.
When's the last time that happened? I've never heard of that happening.
It happens. I can't give you an example of exactly when it happened, but it happens. Like, I'll bet you if you looked at the NFL schedule right now, we could probably pick off a future Sunday nighter that would make sense for them to flex. Like, I'll go to week 15. Let's take the final couple of weeks. Week 17, I don't know if they would do it, but Dallas at Oakland, week 15. The way these two teams are going, they're both going to be out of the playoffs. Now, I don't know if they would flex that game because of Dallas. Dallas is such a popular team.
Right, and
they probably
draw.
Get the ratings.
Yeah, they draw.
But put it this way, the Rams are at Seattle that same Sunday. If you had the ability to flex it, now Fox may own that game, which they do. I'm looking at it. They may say, no, that's our big game. We're not. I don't know if they have the ability to do that. I don't know if they have the ability to take any game that they want. But there's a real chance for that game being very, very meaningful. That could determine the NFC West. So if you're NBC and you pay that kind of money, I'm getting two donkey teams out of the way if I have the ability and putting the bigger game.
Yeah.
And if you're a fan, not of one of these specific teams, but just of good football and primetime football, that's what I'd be rooting for.
Yeah.
Like, I'm dying for a good game tonight, but this game, because it's meaningless, doesn't mean it can't be an entertaining game.
Especially for us, there's no hockey games tonight. You want to go home and watch a good game.
Yeah. Well, isn't that the ultimate respect? Like, we hear people say that, you know, the demise of the NFL is upon us and everything's falling apart. The NHL and the NBA both just say, we're out.
Yeah.
We're not competing with you. Like, what other sport owns a day like this?
No other sport.
There's no NHL game. There's no NBA game. They're just like, see you later. We're not competing with you.
Well, the NBA owns Christmas Day.
Yeah, but they can have it.
I know.
According to
if I was ever told I'm playing a hockey game on Christmas Day, not a chance in hell.
Well, you'd be there. If you were told you were playing, guess what you'd be doing?
If it was just...
you'd be playing.
If it was part of the schedule, you'd have to.
That's absolutely. My point. What are you going to do? Walk into Jimmy Rutherford's office and say, actually, send a note back to the league?
Chris Kringle's
I'm not playing.
Coming today. No thanks.
I love that. If I was ever told, actually, I think if you were a pro
I just,
hockey
I
player,
can't see it going over
playing.
Well. Yeah, I can't see it going over
no,
well.
No, guys would hate it. But it,
I mean, like I flew home every year of my pro career to be with my family on Christmas.
Yeah, and the league is
even
actually,
if I had to fly back the same day. I'm not playing hockey on Christmas Day.
Yes, you would be, though. I'm telling you, you would be playing. If you had a game that day, guess where you would be?
Yeah, you would be.
But imagine being on the road for it, too.
Dude, all the
being
time.
At home is one thing. Your family could come down there and see you, whatever. Being on the road, it's like, this is a joke.
LeBron has played every Christmas Day for years.
Yeah.
For years.
It's a big draw, right?
It's the biggest. It's kind of the beginning of the NBA season. It's always a big game.
I think the NHL gets it right. The NHL extended their Christmas break by a day, and I thought that was smart.
Mm-hmm.
It allows the players that collective sigh. I still think the one thing the NHL didn't get right, and maybe they will in the future, was the Hall of Fame Day. There was one game that night. And that, you know, you want everyone to be able to celebrate that night.
Shut it down. Let everyone get to Toronto who has to get to Toronto.
Exactly. Exactly.
But, yeah, I think this is the ultimate respect to the NFL by the NHL and NBA. They're like, we're not competing.
Yeah.
You take it. You own it. You've owned it forever. We're not going to get any ratings. Yeah. Hey, you can still get people in the building.
Right,
you know, in respective markets, like if the Leafs were playing, you could have Canadian teams playing against each other tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Like if the Leafs were playing the Jets,
People are still watching.
Of course. Who up here cares? It's American Thanksgiving. It's not ours.
I would be watching 100%.
Maybe that's something they should look into.
Going against the NFL.
Set up tonight being a big Canadian hockey night. Like six teams play each other.
Yeah.
So there's three Canadian games. Battle of Alberta, Battle of Ontario, and Jets play Vancouver.
Last night, I'll tell you, that was tough to track 15 games. Like I had my TV going. I had my computer with the quad on, so I was watching four games on the computer and the one on TV and flipping back and forth. Like it was, there were so many moving parts. Like, we didn't even talk about Vancouver wins again. That Brock Besser scores. Like, this kid's a player.
Oh, yeah. He's good.
He's this year's Patrick Laine. Like, yeah. He's got a bomb on him.
He does have he's got a bomb. He's a good player. But, like, you know, there were some teams that played last night that you were tracking. Obviously, Montreal and Edmonton. Edmonton went in and played very well against Detroit.
That.
And Antti Niemi was outstanding.
On my betting, I'm never betting. Because I was going to text my buddy in the States who doesn't mind tossing some cash down on a hockey game. I was going to say Montreal at Nashville back-to-back, and Niemi is a net.
No Shea Weber?
No Shea Weber.
Niemi was outstanding. Like, I tracked the two games that I had on, you know, front and center, obviously was Edmonton and Montreal, just to see what was going on. I'm lying, because I had on the big TV, I had the Leafs going, and then I had Edmonton, Montreal, and it was to watch, because I kept watching, like, Nashville would have a big push, and I'm like, oh, here it comes, you know, you're going to get, and Niemi would shut it down. Good glove save, good positioning.
He played well.
He was very strong. You know, Montreal scored. Like, they actually should have lost that game in regulation.
Right. Arvidsson misses less than a minute to go.
Well, Arvidsson misses an empty net. He had an empty net. They had two empty nets that they missed, and they come back down and score. And Edmonton just looked sharp right from the get-go. They looked like they were embarrassed the night before. So, and the Leafs game was from 35-minute mark on. So, 35
Leafs
minutes.
Absolutely dominated.
Leafs were very good, but I didn't like their start. Like, no. I'm not going to harp on them because they've played so well. But, like, that's a team, they have these lapses where they're relying on the goalie too much. I thought Anderson was sharp again last night. Like,
yeah. But no, they're missing something. Like, there's something every game where you're like, man, that's a little bit off.
Just a little bit. Just a little. Yep. Give me a little bit something else.
But they banked enough points where you have the luxury of,
exactly,
you know, hoping that it all comes together by the end of the year. And I mean, it's too early to be tracking the standings, but last night was fairly positive night. I mean, Tampa came back and beat Chicago. Boston, you got to give them credit. They're depleted and they won last night. But Ottawa lost. You know, Montreal only got a point. Detroit lost. Buffalo's a joke. They lost again last night.
5-4.
Florida and Buffalo, I think, are done. Like, I think they're probably done. And Ottawa, since coming back from Sweden, can't win.
Yep.
I mean, it's too early again. I'm not going to break down the standings as if it means something come April. But
no, but this Carolina team, too, got, like, Scott Darling, that goal.
That was something else. If you missed it, do yourself a favor and just Google Scott Darling and
Mika Zibanejad.
Enjoy yourself.
Someone just sent me a tweet. Leafs TV is now showing Leafs versus Panthers 2006. O-Dog versus Noodles, and Sundin gets like four goals on Noodles in that game.
Oh, yeah. And actually, the ironic part about it is...
we got to find Leafs TV.
Is Nieuwendyk had a hat trick for our team. We lost 6-5 in that game. Sundin, I think, had 6 points. And...
Yeah, it was a big night for Mats.
It was. I couldn't catch it. There was a shot from the wall. I'll never forget this. I knew he was shooting. He knew he was shooting, and I was in good position. I still couldn't catch up to the puck. Blocker side, far side. Hey, it happens. And I think, you know, our buddy, I think Ass Face.
Brian McCabe.
I think he scored the OT winner. I think he
does. Got to OT. You got a point out of it.
I think it was OT. I can't remember. I just know
the
that.
Memory, actually, the details start
if you
falling
look,
apart.
Well, if you, yeah. look, if you actually look back on that, Matt Sundin's career, if he doesn't get 6 points that night, he's not a point per game. honest to God.
Yeah.
Because I think he actually had a point per game bang,
like, right on.
If he doesn't get that six that night, I don't think he averages
one
a point
stop
a game.
Off the boards, Noodles, and maybe he's not
one
in the
stop.
Hall of Fame.
Give me one stop.
Darren Dreger will join us in studio. Alex Marvez, our NFL analyst. We're going to bother an American on American Thanksgiving. He'll join us in about 25 minutes. We're tracking this Chargers-Cowboys game. The Vikings beat the Lions earlier today. The Vikings feels like they're going to run away with the NFC North. So shout out to the Vikings fans out there. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. All right, Dregs and Alex Marvez talking NFL in the 6 p.m. hour. The MLS playoffs continue with TFC facing off against rival Columbus in the Eastern Conference Finals. The second leg is Wednesday at 7:30. Watch it on TSN. You mentioned that Brad sent us a tweet letting us know that Leafs TV is showing an 06 Maple Leaf versus Panthers game.
Apparently it was Caberle
that Caberle scored the OT winner.
On the power play.
Okay.
I think it was Tux and who else was out there?
Well, you were in Net Noodles and you were playing for the Leafs and
Mike Van Ryan?
Let me guess. I had 0 points.
Sending in some details. Apparently, McKay played 34 minutes that
34:09.
What was Pat Quinn doing behind the bench?
I told you. Ricky Lee was assistant coach. All he did, he called Thomas Caberle Tom. He'd just say, Tom Bryan, you're up.
Caberle played 35 and Assface played 34:09.
How many minutes do you think the O-Dog played? Don't look it up.
8 minutes.
9 minutes.
9:34.
You were a dash one.
Oh, thanks.
But 4 shots on net.
We got to come back in the 6 o'clock hour. We're going to tee up some different things.
You had 4 shots, and Noodles stopped you 4 times.
Well, apparently, what the hell? I remember crumpling up that game sheet, saying, "What the hell am I going to do in 9 minutes?"
Well, Noodles faced 53 shots.
Yeah, it was a busy night.
J.S. O'Ban was in net. Was your team
the manatee?
Awful? Why was he in net?
Where was the
manatee? Beagle?
Well, we were kind of in a rebuild. We'd signed a bunch of older players. You had Nieuwendijk and Roberts. And Marty Jelena and Sean Hill and Eric Cairns and myself, like older veterans. And then guys like Bo Meester, Greg Campbell, Nathan Horton, Yuri Kolnick, Olesh. We had a really young and old.
So I guess that's why the backup was playing.
We weren't a playoff team.
J.S. O'Ban.
Yeah,
well, neither were the Leafs, so.
The Leafs, there was some talent on that team.
I guess.
We had Nieuwendijk and Roberts on that team, mm-hmm. on my team. Knew we got a hat trick. I just ruined it by allowing 4.
All right, Dregs in studio, Alex Marvez on what's going on in the NFL and U.S. Thanksgiving. We'll keep talking about.
Feels like a holiday today. I don't even know why.
I know. It feels weird. It does.
It is.
Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.